Hello, 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 drama listeners. It is Dylan here. We're counting down to the Tony Awards, and Connor and I could not be more excited to have the Leslie Rodriguez Kritzer on drama today. You know her, you love her. She has been in all of your favorite shows over the years, and she was just nominated for her absolutely iconic, one-of-a-kind performance as Lady of the Lake in the Spamalot revival. Connor and I have an absolutely incredible summer of drama in store for you all. Oh, remember summer of drama a few years ago when we did the merch and everything? Oh my God. Should we do merch again? Anyways, we have incredible surprises in store coming at you very soon. And if you want to help support the podcast as we enter this exciting time, you could definitely check out our Patreon, where for just $5 a month, you become part of our Instagram close friends.
Dylan, what are you doing over here trying to record this without me?
Oh my God! Audience applause, audience applause.
Special guest starring appearance from Connor. We haven't done a Patreon bumper together in forever, and you were not doing it in a fun enough way, so I felt like I had to jump in and do it for you. But y'all, listen, you have to subscribe to our Patreon Drama Plus, $5 a month, IG close friends, bonus episodes every month, and you're supporting your favorite twins on the entire planet. No, not Mary-Kate and Ashley, like we mentioned on this episode, and also not Dee and Tamara, like we mentioned this
A little
episode,
teaser.
but Connor and Dylan McDowell.
That's
We
right.
love y'all. Summer of Drama, part five,
Yeah, we can,
four.
gays can count for sure.
How many summers? How many good summers to quote Carol Radzivill?
Anyways, let's get on with the show.
All right.
Press play.
Curtain up and now we're in.
It's time to take spin.
With shade and tea to spill.
Ooh, drama.
Oh, that's a tweet. Did they book? Who got nom?
They option no.
Oh, I'm not well.
What
What
star
star
will
will
we
we
talk
talk
to
to
today?
today? Oh, that's a gag, honey.
Say no more.
Drama.
Drama.
Welcome to Drama, a podcast that covers theater,
pop culture,
love,
and life.
I am Connor McDowell.
And I'm Dylan McDowell. Connor, we have no time to waste. I'm in the city, squeezing in shows before the Tonys. We're together, a
City that never
rare.
sleeps, mama.
I never sleeps, and we sure didn't last night, but we had to be up fresh and early.
Wait, what was that Mary-Kate and Ashley movie that was New York? Was it called New York Minute?
I think so.
Okay, and
Yeah.
I don't know why that just crossed my mind, but them being twins, you being in New
We don't
York.
really associate with them. They're other
We
twins.
never have, even
Yeah.
though we loved Full House.
I'd say our twins that we associated best with were Tia and Tamara.
Oh, period. Sister, sister was everything. Jack A.
Listen.
She was mother.
She
She still
was. She
is.
still is. Remember there was a rumor for a while she was going to play Madame Morrible in Wicked on tour?
She should.
Yeah, that
She
should
should do it on
happen.
she should do it on Broadway though.
Yeah, she's doing it right. Okay, listen. We have a
You
huge
know what? Really
guest.
quick about Jack A. She really inspired my comedy and my sensibilities, and I really have to just give her a shout out.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. Anyway,
Yeah.
comedy queen. We have another comedy queen
We
here today, but
do.
also this queen does it all.
Yeah, I mean, she was recently nominated for a Tony. We both got to see her unbelievable performance. And I'll say this to her as though she's not listening, but I'll say it now. I didn't think anybody could recreate that role in such a unique and fresh way. And I was like, how is this going to work? And now I never want to see it any other way. It's one of those
Oh,
things. It was
wow.
beyond. It
Oh,
was
I love
beyond.
it. I'm so excited. Dylan, would you please read her in so we can get to chatting?
Let's do
Maybe
it.
she's a Jack A fan.
I would imagine everyone
I
is.
don't know.
Our guest today is an absolute star of the Broadway stage and is a newly minted Tony Award nominee. This Lucille Lortel and Drama League Award winner and four-time Drama Desk Award nominee has made her mark as an inimitable and iconic performer. She just portrayed the Lady of the Lake in Monty Python's Spamalot on Broadway, and you will know her comedic timing and powerhouse vocals from her turns in Beetlejuice, Something Rotten, Sondheim on Sondheim, Elf, A Catered Affair, Hairspray, and our favorite, Legally Blonde. She toured the nation in Urinetown and appeared off-Broadway in The Robert Bridegroom, Gigantic, Rooms, A Rock Romance, The Great American Trailer Park Musical, Bat Boy, and Godspell. Lucky regional audiences saw her in Connor's personal favorite, Vanities, Babes in Arms, as well as Grease, Funny Girl, and The Honeymooners at Paper Mill Playhouse. You'll recognize our fabulous guest from the final season of The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel as Carol Burnett, as well as in Younger, Has Been Hotel, The First Lady, Bridge and Tunnel, New Amsterdam, Difficult People, and many more. Her wit and brilliance has led to the creation of several solo shows, including Burn It to the Ground, Beautiful Disaster, and Leslie Kritzer is Patti LuPone at Les Mouches, for which she received a Time Out New York Award. If you're listening to this on Wednesday, June 5th, you can see her at Joe's Pub in Lady of the Lake, the farewell tour, if tickets are even left. Queen, please welcome to drama,
Leslie
Leslie Rodriguez
Rodriguez
Kritzer!
Hi, hi everybody.
Hello.
Hi, welcome to drama.
Oh my God, you guys are the best. Inimitable. Isn't that what the word?
That's
I
the
mean,
word.
Come on.
It's true though, Leslie. Like, I feel like people try to do what you do. You know what I mean? It's like the young girls try to belt like Sutton Foster and Thoroughly Modern Millie. They try to have the comedic chops as you. It's just this amazing thing.
Thank you. I'm glad you said comedic chops first, because that's like my highest compliment. That's really what I love doing the most. Yeah. Because, you know, a lot of us out here are belting. You know what I mean?
You do that too. Like, let's not mince any words here.
I mean, that Legally Blonde bootleg from San Francisco has been making the rounds for years. And mm-hmm. it's still, for people that don't know what I'm talking about, there, I did Legally Blonde out of town before we all came to Broadway. And there's a clip that now it was cut out of town, but I felt this ridiculous thing that I came up with in rehearsal. And it makes it the rounds every once in a while on TikTok, mm-hmm. which I find hilarious. She lives.
Now, was that just like a one night only thing that was in and then it was removed?
Probably one or two. Yeah, okay. We changed that song every single day. I mean, we were in rehearsal every day, different props, until it was like, it was Love and War, and then it turned into Keep It Positive.
Right, yes. So, right.
Oh, it's all a blur.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Didn't you also understudy Paulette too?
I did, and I think I went on one time, and that also, that bootleg lives forever and ever on the YouTube.
Was gonna say, that clip.
I think they pulled that wig out of their butt. I don't even know. Yeah, they pulled that out like of nowhere. It's crazy. So, you know.
Was it blonde, like Orphée's?
No, it's like, it was dark. It was like a dark.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it was crazy. It's like, oh, brown and really cute.
Oh my God, so cute. Wait, I could talk about Legally Blonde a ton. And actually, there's so much we need to talk to you about.
But oh my God.
Before we dive into the chit-chat portion of the episode, we always like to check in with our guests. Leslie, are you well?
I am well. I am. You know, I've been crazy busy with promoting my show and doing this comedy series, Lady of the Lake comedy series. So I've been, you know, doing that right now. But like, as soon as Spamalot closed, I hit the ground running. I was working immediately doing all kinds of things, which, you know, is my MO. I had like concerts, auditions, you know, it's like been busy. And then, of course, you know, award season happened. And that really like kicked it off. I mean, it's been events and, you know, nominations and interviews and all the wonderful things that happen when you're in an award season and you're lucky enough and to be nominated. So it's been a whirlwind. It's crazy. And then I, you know, been developing the show and doing this comedy series based on like, you know, Lady of the Lake series. And it's been fun. And I'm nuts. I mean, I'm great. People are like, how are you doing all this? And I'm like, this is just how I operate. I love creating and I like being busy, and I don't, you know, sit at home and wait for the phone to ring. That's never been my thing. So it's fun. It's a good time.
I mean, unless you are playing Lady of the Lake waiting for your agent to tell you you got the Tuesday Norma gig.
That's right.
I mean, come on. That was so funny. Did you audition for that, by the way?
No. I mean, I'm not a Norma. I'm no. not. I mean, Nicole could have never said she was a Norma. I met her years ago in college, and and then later, yeah, I met her later, years later. And but like, you would have never thought of, right? It's kind of funny thinking about it and comparing, because I never would have thought of myself as a Lady of the Lake type, and I bet she would never in a million years. I mean, she's Pussycat Dolls, like, right. You know. And yet this version that they're doing, it's very sexy. It's perfect for her. I don't see myself as a Norma. I mean, I could do it, sure. But it's great. I'm psyched for her. I think she's going to kill it when she comes into town. I'm so happy for her. Thrilled.
Me too. Totally. Me too. Wait, so the idea of this Lady of the Lake
I was
comedy
gonna ask
series,
this too, yeah.
the show you're going to do at Joe's Pub, did you have this idea before Spamalot closed? Like, was it brewing?
No. You know, well, no, that's not true. That's not true. Now I'm like, beep, beep. Okay. So before we had an inkling that we're in trouble, right? I said, I've always done little comedy series from time to time or comedy shows. And I said, hey, if I get nominated, it would be fun to do something like backstage content, right?
Yeah.
And also thinking if a bunch of us got nominated, not just me, like, let's do some funny stuff. Let's do like Spamalot comedy. Like, we have that kind of show. You know, we're not in the Notebook. They're not going to do that, right? But especially since I'm play a diva, you know, and I essentially ask for a nomination at the end of the show. in Spamalot. You know,
it works.
We can play it out. We can, like, you know, we break the fourth wall in our show. So I did come up, you know, Jonathan Bennett, who's so great at social media. He's like, you should come up with these short little videos. I was like, okay, that's what I'm thinking, blah, blah, blah. Bam, show closes. And I'm like, okay, well, Lady Lake's done. That's it. We'll see if I get nominated. And then I got nominated for all these awards. And then I got the big one, which has been so nice. And I said to my collaborator, Randy Blair, who I've created a lot of things with, who lives in LA, I said, what if we did a Lady of the Lake comeback farewell tour? And she, you know, she hears she got a Tony nomination, but we call it a Schmoney nomination. And that she wants to come back and claim her on the quest to find her grail, which is that. So then we came up with the idea to do this Joe's Pub show. And then I was like, let's do a video series too. And accompany with like these comedy videos, 90 seconds, let's just, and I'll produce it. And I produced it along with two other partners, and we just pulled it together in literally no time. I mean, I'm running downtown, getting my gold dress from the photo shoot outfitted and all of these things. Can I get the, my producer was like, yes, you can borrow costumes. The wig designer, Tom Watson's like, yes, you can borrow your original wig. I mean, my phone, I should have finger cancer, God forbid, because my phone, it was glued to my hand every single day. I mean, it always is, but like,
yeah,
same. All of ours. We're probably not going to have hands soon, but like, you know, we just threw it together because we're like, let's be creative. I can't campaign, and I'm not really trying to, but I can't even be visible. Like if I was in a show, even though tons of voters came already and all that before we closed, this is a way for me to do something creative. And it's in the spirit of who she is. So like, why not?
Yes.
It has nothing to do with me, Leslie. Like I'm not anywhere near it. It's totally her and that character. And like, let's go for it. It's super fun. And that's what we're doing. And it's like getting a great response. Like I have an interview with Frank DeLella coming out today on New York One, where I literally play just her. I showed up to the studio as her. That's the gimmick. So
it's very Weekend Update.
Yes. SNL. And you know, a little bit of Ally G. So And then it's been like great. It's been so fun. We have a lot more coming out. We're trying to think possibly about shooting even more.
Oh.
Yeah, but we'll see. For now, it's kind of like it's killer.
Can you say if she'll be at the Tonys herself?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Yeah.
I thought about it a lot. I think it would be super iconic if I did something like that. If I was like, you know, Lady Gaga, I could like come show up, do the carpet, have a secret changing booth, go turn into Leslie and then come back. I mean, that would be great.
Yeah.
But I think this is like my first time and I just kind of, I think it's, I'll just come as me. I mean, there are many people who are telling me to do it, like friends. They're like, it would be iconic and first in Broadway history. And I'm like, I know, but at the same time, you know, there's a part of me that doesn't want to make a joke, you know, because it is such an honor and it can only possibly happen once. And, you know, it's one of those things. I'm like, I want a killer dress. I kind of like, I work super hard. I'm like, I just want to be, be me. But there might be a way that she can make an appearance, but it's before all this stuff. So we're working out the logistics of this and we're going to see, but she will have many more episodes. And you know what? People love her. She may get her own series. You never know.
I would love that. I think that's amazing. Yeah. I'm sure there's a freedom to playing her too. And especially outside of the show now, although you got a lot of freedom within the show.
I did get a lot of freedom within the show. It's funny because in that last episode, the last mini episode we did, we showed Camelot Lady of the Lake. And it's very funny because I thought Camelot Lady of the Lake would be the easier one to improvise. You know, all of this stuff is improvised and scripted, but we write it as we go. So a lot of it. So with her, I found her the hardest to improvise outside the show because she lives in the world of Camelot. So we decided to cut her. We just put her in that video and I don't know if you'll see her again. And definitely not in my Joe's Pub show. She does not make an appearance because Lady of the Lake, Redhead Lady of the Lake, the diva is just much more fun and... Yeah, she's the star. So she's the main character. And that's kind of how we're keeping
it. I think that's smart.
It's a blast. In the show, I was given so much freedom by Josh Rhodes. And Eric Idle was game to also allow me to write my own material and do my own thing, which was a real gift.
And you changed it every night, right?
I did a lot of times. I mean,
A lot of times.
I was like, oh, should I do the Britney joke tonight? Should I do the Lady Gaga joke tonight? Oh, what do you guys think? Should I try this? Should I try that joke? What do you think? a lot of times they landed, sometimes they didn't. But like, yeah, it was fun to kind of live on the edge, you know? It was really, really fun.
Was there ever like a really topical current event that occurred that you slotted into the show that night? Can you think of anything from the run?
Yes. Do you know one? Do you know the thing I'm talking about?
No. I don't know. Yeah, yeah.
When the SAG strike ended, it happened during the show.
Oh.
And I announced it on stage and everyone went nuts because it literally broke while we were backstage right before Camelot. So I said, and I just got some great news. Apparently the SAG strike has ended, you know?
Yeah,
and that was great. Good. That was a very cool night. So that I was able to do. I did some topical stuff. Topical things in DC that was relating to politics and politicians. Oh. So I did like, oh, blah, blah, Senator ghosted me at the Old Ebbets, which is a main bar down there and restaurant that everybody goes to after hours because it's the only place that serves food late. So I'd make jokes like that. But most of the time, it was like about like doing pop songs and then talking about being, you know, my problematic relationships and stuff like that.
Yeah. Last night would have been about the 34 counts that Trump was found
guilty. Oh, my God.
Good.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
A lot of people probably would have known, you know?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Exactly. Because when did it come out? Well, it would have been pre-show because it came out around 6:30 or 6 o'clock, 5 o'clock. But yes, I could have done that. And you have to be careful, too, because you just don't know where your audience is leaning. We are in a liberal area, but a lot of these people that are coming to see shows are not necessarily.
Yeah.
That is Ohio, you know.
Yes.
Parts of Ohio. I went to school in Cincinnati.
That's right.
And, you know, it's tricky, right? You got to like, you have to know how to finesse it. And when I do jokes like that, I try to make it personal. Like I would probably try to tie it into my own possible felony. But you know what I mean? So that it lightens it up. And it's not like I'm trying to make a political statement. It's like, oh, I understand. You know, it's 34. I had 4.
Yeah.
But we're not going to talk about that.
Yeah. You know, that's perfect.
Stuff
that's
like
so
that.
Good.
You know, so it diffuses anything like, because I only have like 5 minutes or 7 minutes to get through and move the show on. So yeah.
Gosh. Well, you were totally fantastic. And congrats on all the recognition that you're getting for the performance.
Thank you.
Yeah, I have to tell you that when you posted about your mom on Instagram, that I cried.
Aww.
I cried. That was beautiful.
Thank you.
I know you've spoken about your relationship with her in the past, and it's very touching. So I appreciate you being so open about it and honoring her.
Yeah, you know, this whole year has been the year mark just passed, like a week or so ago and 2 weeks ago. And it's wild because, you know, she passed the day before I went into tech for Spamalot in DC.
Oh.
And so, yeah, so it was a really intense time. I love the fact that I was able to walk into the arms of my company in DC. Mm-hmm. I drove my car down from New Jersey and it was time. The timing was like, wow, divine, right? So, you know, it was a long, long, very terrible decline in her with her disease. And so she would just be over the moon about, you know, the looks, the dresses, the, you know, and I've been like, it's meant a lot to me. And I talked about this yesterday, you know, it's meant a lot to me to kind of show up and feel like I'm representing her. Like when I look at her at the age that I am now in pictures, she was so glamorous and beautiful. And she took such pride in how she looked. And like, she would just love to see her daughter, you know, getting that pin and walking down the red carpet at the Tonys. And you know, she was a very complicated woman. I didn't have like the perfect relationship with her, but she always wanted the best for me. I know that. And like to carry her legacy is everything. And, you know, it's really honoring her, which is another reason why, like, even though she, you know, she would die laughing if I showed up as Lady of the Lake.
Yeah.
I think to show up in a beautiful dress, and she couldn't have imagined that her daughter would have had this moment.
Sure. Yeah.
She could only dream about that. So I want to kind of fulfill it, you know, button the year, and then we'll see what's next. You know?
Yeah, that's so powerful. Did she get to see a lot of your roles and performances over the years?
She did. The last performance I believe that she saw was Something Wrong.
Oh, amazing.
And at the St. James.
Yeah.
She never saw Beetlejuice. She saw Beetlejuice during the pandemic. I showed it to her on a computer. Like I got the B-roll.
Nice.
So but the window of time in the decline of her disease, for her to see it at the Winter Garden would have been too much overstimulation.
Sure.
But, you know, I showed her clips and she watched. And but over the years, she saw Funny Girl. She saw, you know, God, Hairspray, Catered Affair. She loved. She saw most of them.
Oh, yeah.
Did she have a favorite that she ever would like reference often?
I think, you know, Funny Girl was a big one. I think she loved Catered Affair too, because I played like a young, atypical ingenue.
Yeah.
Which was nice. And yeah, I think those two were big for her, you know.
Oh, I was going to say, that Funny Girl, wasn't that rumored to go to Broadway at the time?
Oh, I mean, rumored. It was.
Girl.
It was May of 2001, and I got the offer that it was going to Broadway while I was walking back from my lunch break at my temp job on 59th and Lex for an investment banker. Oh, and I mean, I wore so many hats, and this is who's going to be in it, and you know, this is who could possibly direct it, and we had meetings about it. It was so special and so exciting. And then 9/11 happened a couple of months later. As you know,
right? Yes. And when you said 2001, I was like, what's going to happen?
I was 24 years old. I just turned 24 during the run, almost during the run. And it was a dream. I was like, I'm going to be a Broadway star. This is it. This is everything that I've worked for, everything that I got through my 4 years getting that BFA. And am I good enough? Am I not? This is it. And then the whole world changed. Well, in that moment, everything changed, especially for us in New York.
Right.
And it rumored to come back, and well, no, it's still happening. And I held on to that dream for about 10 years on and off. And then when it did come back, when it was casting, I wasn't the choice anymore. And that was a hard moment for me, because I literally had held on to that. I was like, one day it's going to be me. It's going to be me. I know it. Which is why, like, now I don't subscribe to what's your dream role, because Spamalot was it. And I never saw that coming. I never could. If you had said to me, your mom's going to die and you're going to walk into tech rehearsal, you're going to do the show in DC, it's going to transfer to Broadway, and you're going to get nominated for a Tony Award, I would have never seen that coming. So I really believe that, like, your dream role, you can put it Mrs. Lovett or whatever your dream role is, Fanny Bryce and Funny Girl, but what's coming for you is that's going to be a surprise. And I bet Nicole, again, Norma Desmond, like, what?
Yeah.
So I just, you know, there's things that I'd love to play, you know, especially like I'd love to do The Mother and Sideman. Like, that's a play that I really want to do.
Manifesting.
I talk about a performance that I was inspired by Edie Falco, and that, I mean, she was like God to me.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's, life is funny and surprising. So I held on to that for a long time. And then when it didn't happen, I was devastated and I felt cast aside and my agent dropped me. And like, it was real hard. I couldn't get an agent. Like, this was, you know, it was like a real crossroads. I was like, I could quit or I could keep going, you know? And I didn't quit. I just kept going.
What inspired you to push through that time?
You know, I had a lot of support from people that I loved, and I loved doing this, you know, and I just kept putting one foot in front of the other. And, you know, I hustled. I like, okay, how do I get an agent? I finally got an agent, same agent that I'm with today.
Oh, wow.
And just kept working, kept refocusing, stayed positive, kept my eye on the ball, as my dad would say. And it was humbling. It's like, okay, you don't always get what you want just because you're good. It's not a meritocracy. And kept taking jobs. And then all of a sudden I was like, what happened after that? I think, I don't remember when that was supposed to be. I already did Legally Blonde by then and all those things. So I forgot what the big thing was after that I did. But yeah, I kept writing my own material and doing my own shows. And then, you know, here we are. It's kind of like, and it's amazing, because when the revival came back with
Beanie,
yeah, and it was coming and all that, I didn't have any feelings about it, because I had made peace with the fact that that wasn't the show that was going to make or break my career. It was a moment at 24 years old that I had the greatest experience of my life that put me on the map in a way that set the stage for the rest of my career. And that's the way it was supposed to go down, you know? And
Yes.
And really accepting that has led me to like do exactly what I'm doing now, which is I'm not in my show at Spamalot. It's closed. I have no I'm not even like upset. I miss the money. I'm sad.
Yeah.
I miss my money.
Yeah.
I miss the money. And I miss my friends. But I'm not expecting to win. I don't feel, if I was in the show every night, it would feel different because you're like, oh my God, people are here. Like it was when I was in it, you know, nominators are there, voters are there, you know, you're in it. But now that the show is closed and I'm just focusing on my own work, I go, wow, I'm just along for the ride. Like, this is so exciting. If my name is called, great, but I don't expect it to be called. And that, like, it's like kind of okay, you know? Because all I ever really wanted was, and I know people can say this, but I'm really serious. I just wanted to get nominated and get that pin. And when I got that pin that day at the press junket, oh, I can get emotional about it. It was like, you know, hey, mom, we did it. And like, I'm with my peers and all of the work and all of the stuff and all of the no's, you know, all of those no's and all of the yeses made a difference. You know, you just stick with it. And that's exactly how it's supposed to go down, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so just grateful. And I'm just having a good time now instead of feeling like, oh my God, if I don't win, I bumped into a friend of mine not too long ago who said, you know what, Leslie, you're actually like, as much as the show closing is hard. This is a friend who was nominated a while back who didn't win, nominated for everything. And she was like, it was so hard because I was expecting it because that's what everyone said. That I was going to win. So you start expecting it. And then when it didn't happen, I was devastated. And then like, I didn't know what to do with myself. And that was really hard. So the fact that you're like, it's all good. Like drama does. So great. You know, Tony nomination. Great. Like if I win, great. But like, it's okay. It is a gift. And you know, and this is someone I really respect and I've known a long time. So, you know, it's like, it's cool. And then it'll be over. And I'm like, okay, what's next?
Yeah, exactly. Wow, I love your work ethic. I just really admire the way that you've shaped all of this and your perspective on the whole situation. Because I know that awards can be complicated for a lot of folks.
Very.
But we've kind of talked about your mom and your comedic sensibility and the way that you've been able to like throw yourself into your work. We'd like to go back to maybe the beginning of your career or that moment that you realized you wanted to pursue a life in the arts. And we call it the Ring of Keys, loosely taken from Fun Home. Do you feel like you had a moment, a performance, a song, something that you saw or experienced at some point in your formative years that you feel was that moment that made you realize you wanted this life?
Yeah, you know, I feel like there's a lot of them, but I feel like Faith Prince and Guys and Dolls was like a moment for me that I was like, I want to do what she's doing.
Yes.
Where did she go to school? Cincinnati Conservatory of Music. I want to go there. Because let's be clear, probably couldn't get into Carnegie Mellon or NYU. And like my grades were terrible. I was not a good student. But, you know, that album too, like her, the way she sang and her comedic timing and that show, I just, you know, it's iconic. And I was like, I want to be like that. That's what I want to do. And I sort of just followed that gut. And I went to school where she went to school. And like, so that performance, and then she wound up playing my mother in Catered Affair, which is so wild. Again, like in what world would I have thought that would happen? But yeah, I think it's her, you know, it's that performance. And I was listening to cast albums in my room and acting out, you know, and acting things out and just being like, this is what I do. But when you're that young too, at least me, I was that young. I didn't like, I don't know. I just was like, this is what I do. I'm going for it. It wasn't a question. It's just like, it is all or nothing for me. And it's working out. Thank God.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Did you tell Faith that you're like, oh my God,
of course she knows,
you were the one.
Of course. And she came back when I was in college, I had her sign that CD, the little jacket. Yeah. And she knows. And you know, it's interesting too, when you work with big iconic people like her or Barbara Cook that I got to work with, you learn a lot about it. They sort of really give it to you straight about what the business is like and what it is like to have longevity, what it's like to manage and the storms when they come, the slow times when no one gives a shit, you know, about you. And really what it is, it's so fun. Like right now it's like glamorous and outfits and hair and makeup and yeah. Oh my God. But it's a lot of work, as you both know, it's a lot of work. And how to sustain that takes a certain kind of person. And so I've learned so much from the people that I've worked with, especially the women that I've worked with that have been in this industry, you know?
Yeah. I love that. Wait, speaking of women you've worked with, I just remembered something that when I was going looking at your Instagram, watching your videos, your comedy videos, of course, I noticed that Michelle Visage commented on one of your posts. How do you know the iconic Michelle Visage?
I met her with RuPaul when they came to see Beetlejuice. I met RuPaul the first time during Something Rotten. I mean, they love musicals, and then Beetlejuice. And then yeah. I became like close-ish with her. During Spamalot, like we were right back and forth. She looks like a million bucks. I'd be like, what are you doing? What are you eating? What can I do? I need to know.
Yeah.
And then we became friends and like, you know, she's really good. And like, we've talked about doing something together. So like, once this closes, like, I want to go to London and do something with her, either a concert or a duo. She's just amazing. And I love her energy, her vibe, her attitude. I really enjoy her. So yeah, we just like right back and forth and she's the real deal. You know, I think she's the best.
Oh, I love
it.
That's so
funny. She's just amazing. She's amazing.
Obsessed with her. She's a huge theater queen. I remember when her and RuPaul had a podcast, it stopped right before COVID or during COVID, but they would talk about all the theater they were seeing or doing.
Exactly.
Loved. Wait, Something Rotten. So freaking good.
Oh my God. We loved that show so
much. Oh my God. I feel like every time we have someone on the podcast that was in it, we just rave because it was so smart. I loved it.
It was fantastic. It was great. And I replaced Heidi Blickenstaff, which was great. You know, it was so fun. Put my own spin on it. It was with Rob McClure. And he's the best. Yeah. So like, you know, you pop in these shows, you do a little stint, show closed and like on to the next. But that was super fun.
And then, you know, Rob McClure, obviously you guys were in Beetlejuice together. What a moment in time. I feel like that was such a whirlwind being pre-pandemic and then coming back and everything. When you look back on Beetlejuice, what are some of your favorite memories from that time?
You know, I have formed such deep friendships with people. You know, we did all the workshops and readings. Then we did the out of town. You know, obviously one of them is like creating Miss Argentina when we came from DC to New York, that whole process and doing two roles. And it was crazy. I mean, that was nuts, but it was such a phenomenon. One of the best things about it was like the young people, Presley Ryan starting TikTok, that blew the show up. I mean, it was crazy. The amount of fans we had and this cast like really got along, you know, it was an amazing cast, even as we changed at the Marquee. But then, you know, we were supposed, again, another thing, we were supposed to extend, we were going to move into a new house, we were going to do the Broadway capture.
Right. Yes. Dana told us about that. Yes.
Yeah. Weeks, like in April, I was planning my vacation. So we were weeks out from doing a capture, blah, blah, blah. And then the whole world shut down. And during the pandemic, one of the things that I decided to do, because young people love the show so much and we used to get so much fan mail and so much artwork, I opened a P.O. box. And I posted on Instagram, if you have playbills, if you have things you want to sign, or you have just want to write me, here's my P.O. box. If you put a self-addressed stamped envelope, I will, you know, sign stuff, write you back. And when I got to the post office the first time after I posted that, they handed me a bucket.
Oh my God.
Full of fan mail. And I made it like a little project because we were all cooped up. I bought stickers. I bought like all kinds of stuff, markers, and I'd like make them special and write them back and read their letters. And I did that for almost a year.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, it was like, it's like heartbreaking that we closed but then reopening was so cool. You know, it was great. It was short lived, but it was great and so much fun. So, you know, to be able to come back was like a real gift and then put a button. We never had a button in a closing. Mm-hmm. And that first night we came back was like a rock concert. It was, I thought that I was Beyonce. Like when I walked out, it was the scream at the Marquee was insane. I will never forget that experience. That wall of sound, my first entrance after the pandemic playing Delia. So yeah, it was cool.
Oh, that's beautiful. You've done so many shows that have touched young people in many ways. And we mentioned Legally Blonde earlier. It is truly one of our favorites of all time. But also you were in the original Company of Hairspray, right?
not the original company. I replaced Shoshana Bean, my classmate from college.
Oh, okay.
She was in the original company, so I came and I replaced her. So she had her Broadway debut, and then I had it right after.
Oh. And that was
we tag teamed.
Yeah, now you're in the same Tony nominated category. Like
that's right.
So cool. There was something I was going to ask you about. Oh, did you ever go in for Wicked?
You know, I went in once, and I totally was not good. I forget if that was when everyone was going in, like Adina too. Or if it was like later, but I never went in again after that. I never was sort of considered. I think there was one time where they were inquiring, but you know what, guys, it's like, I'm not an Elphaba. Like that's not how I like am spiritually, I'm like a Glinda.
Sure.
But I'm not a Glinda. So, you know, wasn't the show for me, and I'm fine with it. Like, it was like, okay, it's not really what I'm. Like, I'm not gonna say no, like give me the black dress and the green face. Like, sure. I you know, but it didn't happen and I never felt really bad about it. Like, that's fine.
Speaking of roles that didn't happen, I remember, well, in my research leading up to chatting with you, you said that you almost played Maria in a West Side Story at some point. Was that another path?
Well, this is a good story. I'll tell you the story. Okay. So I was in a catered affair and the West Side Story auditions for the revival, which Karen Olivo won a Tony for
that
Anita.
Anita, yeah. Yes.
Right. So Matt Cavanaugh and I were doing Catered Affair together. We were playing opposite each other. And I was like, Matt, you are the perfect Tony. I know it. You're the perfect Tony. You're going to get this. And I want to be Maria. Now, at the time, if I showed you a picture of what I looked like at the time, I looked like an ingenue, like atypical, but like I could pull it off. Like if I showed you a picture, like I was very like, petite and just the right, at least I thought that was the right age, whatever. And I could sing it because I sing soprano and all of that. So I got an appointment. I went in. It's the first time that I met Stephen Sondheim and Arthur Lawrence.
Yeah.
It was like a barbecue. This table was so long. I had already known Lin-Manuel and he was there.
Right.
So I auditioned. Arthur Lawrence gave me notes. Can't tell you what he said. But then they said, you know what? You're really not the right fit for Maria, but Matt got the role. And then I said, okay, can I come in for Anita? Now I'm just going to tell you a mini backstory. In high school, I turned down the role of Anita because I wanted to be Maria because I was a soprano one. It was my senior year. And I was like, guess what, Mrs. Spiros? I have gotten sort of shafted for years. So this is my senior year and I want to play Maria. And she's like, no, you don't, why would you want to play Anita? It's like the best part. And I was like, mm-mm. I wasn't cast.
Oh no.
Who turns down a role their senior year?
Right.
Offer only. Okay.
Yeah, period.
So then full circle, coming back to the Broadway revival, I said, okay, Leslie, you're going to redeem yourself. You're going to audition for Anita. You're going to be the best Anita. You're going to dance your face off. They said, okay, we'll give you the appointment. You have a couple of, we're not going to have auditions for at least a month. You have to learn America, all the choreography, and come in to a dance call. To which I called Josh Bergas, and I just bumped into him the other day and reminded him, do you remember when you got into a studio for me with me and you taught me the entire dance to America?
Oh my God. Wow.
And I was like, do you remember that? And I went to the Cape Cod Playhouse where I was doing Born Yesterday, the play.
Yeah.
And in some dusty old spider infested no mirror rehearsal room. Okay. I learned the choreography on my computer. I learned the choreography for Anita and practiced it. Went into the dance call a couple weeks later. Everyone and their mother is in there. Leotards, the whole thing. I go in there. We all dance together. I get down to the end, you know, three at a time, one at a time for Arthur Lawrence. I do the audition. I kill the audition. And I didn't get it.
Oh, yeah. We're gasping like
okay.
We didn't know. We're like, oh, my God.
You're like, oh, God, really?
You're just, we're so wrapped up in your story, yeah. Leslie.
But I redeemed myself. I felt like I gave it my all. I danced my face off and I saw some really good friends in there that we were all in it together. And yeah, now I feel like it's full circle. I did it, you know?
Yes.
And the girl who wound up playing Maria was absolutely lovely. I'm so happy for Karen who went to my college.
Yeah.
And it worked out.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. It all worked out.
It worked out.
It all worked out. Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Okay. We could talk to you forever, but we're running short on time.
I know.
Oh, you're such a lovely gal. Oh my God. We need to end on a dose of drama.
We do.
This is where we give our listeners
Let's end on the dose of drama. Yeah. I think we should.
I think we should. I think I love the way you think. And I also think this is where we say, like, oh, this is what I've been binging. This is what I've been thinking about when I walk down the street. This is what I'm doing tonight. A little recommendation, a referral, a rant, a rave, anything like that. Dylan, you want to start?
I will. You know, we talked about the St. James Theater a few times today when something rotten and obviously Spamalot. We got to see Illinois the other night, which obviously in a different world, Spamalot's still running. Right. It didn't go into the St. James. Right. However, it was one of the most moving, cool experiences I've ever had in the theater. If anyone gets the chance to go this summer, I know they have a rush. Try and get tickets to it. It's beautiful. And we were seated in front of Jodie Foster, which was iconic as hell.
Oh my God.
Yeah, tiny, tiny woman. But
she's so short. Yeah. I love her.
Clarice herself. So it was amazing.
What about you? And I said, we were leaving. I go, she's my night mother. But what I meant was she was True Detective Night Country.
Night Country. Yeah.
What's Night Mother? Is that something?
It's a play, right? Yeah, I think it's a play.
Yes, it's a play.
Anyways, what is your dose, Connor?
Well, my dose is, so you're here. We saw Illinois, which loved. Also saw Water for Elephants. And, I'm feeling dramatic about the fact that no one told me how hot the acrobat ensemblists are in that show. Yeah. And their huge muscles. They're throwing everyone around, doing these crazy things. It is a hot ensemble. Yeah. I mean, last year we had the Bad Cinderella Boys in the Imperial.
Mm-hmm.
Now we've got the Water for Elephant Circus Men.
Yeah.
And they were doing it for
They me. Were sexy. They're very talented. So have you gotten to see that, Leslie?
Oh, my gosh.
I haven't been able to. I really want to. It's on my list. Once the Tonys are over, I have to go. That's when I'm going to see a lot of things.
It'll be great.
Do you have a dose of drama for us to end our little chat?
Like something that I've seen that I loved? Is that where we're living?
That's kind of where we went.
That's where we went. But it could be whatever's on your mind. Yeah.
I'm going to go there with you. I saw Stereophonic.
Oh, yeah.
So good.
Yeah. Going tonight.
Have you seen it?
Going tonight. Yeah. I saw it a couple weeks ago.
Get ready. I loved it. You know why I loved it? Because I wasn't prepared for what was about to happen. I didn't know there was live music. Oh. I didn't know there was the band. I absolutely loved it. Yes, it's long, but I didn't care.
Right.
I'm planning on singing it again. And I'm such a huge fan. I loved it.
Unique it's very different.
So unique. So unique. Yeah. Just the best. And I'll just give a plug.
Your glasses are kind of 70s too.
Oh yeah, they are. Yeah. And I also saw Appropriate, which I loved. I mean, Sarah Paulson. How can you go wrong?
I need to get to that.
Loved it. Yeah. So yeah.
Well, if people are making plans to see shows, like I said, if there's any tickets left on June 5th at Joe's Pub, they've got to see the farewell tour.
There's barely any, but we may release a couple, if we don't have the tickets we're using. So check, but it's pretty tight. It's going to be really, really exciting. It's going to be so fun. There's more videos coming out on Instagram through, beautiful, I believe, the Tonys, but definitely through the 5th of when our show is. But yeah, it's going to be a blast. We'll see if we add one. I highly doubt it because it's a short time period, but we'll see.
Yay. Well, like I said at the beginning, you're giving the gays everything they want. You have for years, Leslie. Thank you so much for chatting with us on Drama and Tonys with us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. You both are so wonderful and have a great day.
Thank you.
All right.
And of course, while everyone is following Leslie, she's on Instagram at Leslie Kritzer. They can follow us at The Drama Podcast on Twitter, Instagram, and at The Drama Pod on TikTok. I am Dylan McDowell. Connor is at Connor McDowell. And Connor, I will see you next time. Drama!